Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says Israel and the U.S. are the root causes of insecurity and wars in the region.
Who brought terrorism and insecurity to the region? Who are those who installed a usurping regime some 70 years ago in this region? Didn't the bulk of insecurity, terrorism, wars and confrontations take root there? The occupying Israeli regime, and 15 years ago they occupied Afghanistan and then invaded Iraq and spread insecurity across the region. Aren't they, most notably the Zionists and the U.S., responsible for so many crimes?
Rouhani also spoke of the wave of Islamophobia in the West. He said anti-Islam Westerners, with their centuries-long propaganda against the religion and their mercenaries, are threatening Islam's dignity like two edges of a sword. Elsewhere, the Iranian president referred to the Saudi invasion of Yemen. Rouhani said Iran will not remain silent while the Yemeni people are under the, quote, brutal bombardment of those who claim to be the guardians of the holy mosque in Mecca. We're joined now by Edward Corrigan. Now, Edward, it's good to have you with us on the program. Now, essentially, the search for a common ground when it comes to the Yemeni crisis, or let's call it a tragedy, is far from reachable. It seems to be far-fetched, don't you think? And the fact of the matter is that the UN envoy to Yemen seems to be saying that there has been some tangible progress when it comes to discussions around the table, but on the ground and in reality, that type of common ground seems to be far from reached.
Well, I agree that there's certainly a lot of problems, and while there's talks going on, peace talks supposedly, the Saudis and some of their allies are still very much attacking Yemen and causing, you know, problems. So they need to stop. There needs to be a real armistice, bring all the parties to the table, and they need to stop the attack on the people of Yemen.
Now, Edward, in order to reach that armistice and that, you know, cessation, true cessation of hostilities, as a prerequisite for the success of those negotiations around the table and the peace talks, then there must be an international mechanism at the hands of the UN, for instance, in order to enforce that. Now, does the UN have such an availability?
Well, the UN does have the power, but it's being blocked by the Americans and the British. And actually, Jordan is running interference for Saudi Arabia at the UN Security Council. It's the only member Middle Eastern country that presently sits at the table. But the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar are all sort of make a full-court press to make sure the UN doesn't move forward in this, and doesn't use the Security Council to make, you know, strong measures to try to stop the hostilities. But I don't think the British, and I don't think that the Americans would support any sort of Security Council action, and actions from the General Assembly or by some of the other agencies are, you know, may contribute to the debate and help inform people, but they really don't have the power to actually enforce any sort of peace agreement or to stop the hostilities. It's really in the hands of the Americans and the British and some of their other allies, which need to force. But in the long run, I don't think this is in the interest of Saudi Arabia, and it clearly is very much detrimental to the people of Yemen.
Now, speaking of the fact that you mentioned that it won't even have any interest or, let's say, profits for the Saudi regime being a major ally of the U.S. and U.K., but if you can get into the heads of those people sitting in Riyadh and in their palaces, what would be their master plan? I mean, what are they really looking for in terms of political interests and gains on the ground?
Well, I think they're trying to stop the march of democracy and any sort of regime evolution within the regime of the area. And Yemen is setting a bad example where you have a populist movement that has taken out, you know, sort of the person who was dependent upon the Saudis. And they don't want that sort of sentiment to spread to Saudi Arabia or to any of the other feudal regimes in the Gulf. But I also have seen reports that the Saudis are you know, moving money to the United States and other countries and preparing for potential exile. They're buying up land in the United States. They've got a lot of money stashed around the world. So I think they're hedging their bets. And if something were to, you know, a problem would arise in and Saudi Arabia, let's say, within a dispute within the Saudi family, because there's different factions. They all want to control the country. King Salman is not well. He's various signs of dementia. His two sons that he's got, the crown prince, are not that popular with the other members of the Saudi family. So there is a potential.
Okay.
And ultimately, the Saudi family will lose control of Arabia, and there will be change. But the question is when that will be, and it won't be for the foreseeable
remains
future.
To be seen. I want to thank you there, Edward Corrigan, for joining us and sharing your insight with us.